I only pitched in the major leagues for 1 year. So as I tell my audiences when I speak, if you Google me, you're going to be a little bit disappointed.
But I was only
there for a year, and I wasn't that good. I looked good, but I wasn't that good.
You're selling yourself short. Nobody gets into the big show without being good. So you speak tonight at Redbird Arena on a topic that my heart goes out to you and your family for your loss. But talking about suicide, teenage suicide, suicide prevention, and tell your story briefly if you can.
No, sure. So my wife Susie and I live in the Atlanta area now. I'm originally from the Chicago area, so an Illinois boy. But we've been in Atlanta for about 20 years. We have four children, and three boys and a little girl. And our oldest child, our son Will, took his own life about 6.5 years ago in October of 2010. He was a freshman in high school. He was very big and strong and very healthy, very successful in all walks of life. He was a good student. He was a very good athlete, a fabulous musician, very popular. He had a ton of friends. And we had absolutely no idea that anything at all was wrong with Will. We thought he was perfect. And when he took his life in our home that morning when we found him, we were so stunned that we thought somebody had come in and murdered him. That's how clueless we were. And I should say that, you know, we have a happy home. We have a loving home. My wife and I are good hands-on parents, and we had great relationships with Will. So it wasn't something that would have entered our mind, the concept of depression, the concept of teen suicide. It was not they weren't vocabulary words in the Troutwine home. So we were absolutely stunned, and what I found out very quickly, literally within days, is that our situation is extremely common, which absolutely floored me when I started hearing the statistics that 1 in 6 high school students suffer from some form of depression, and that a teenager takes their lives in America every 2 hours, every single day, and someone in America takes their lives every 13 minutes. I had no idea, because nobody talks about this concept of mental illness and mental health. There's this stigma around it. And, you know, to kind of cut to the chase, we decided, well, that's wrong. If my son would have died of cancer or some other more, how would I say, accepted disease, people would be talking about it. But mental illness has a stigma to it, and no one wants to talk about it. No one did talk about it, and even today, very few people are talking about it. So we decided we would talk about it. We were so caught by surprise, and when I found out that we were the norm, my family, my well-to-do, happy, successful, loving family, is actually a norm, is actually the face of suicide, I said, well, people need to know this. Because there's other dads like me, and there's other moms like my wife Susie, who are thinking their kids are great, and the fact of the matter is they're not. So over the past 6 years, you know, we've been working, and we created this foundation called the Will to Live Foundation, which really gets people to talk about it and trying to raise this awareness of teen suicide and the fact that our kids are struggling and we might not realize it. And we need to be talking about it. We need to be bringing it to the front of the conversation and not hiding it under the rug or sweeping it into the closet or whatever it might be, because it is a devastating situation that we just, you know, have not been exposed to. So that's sort of my mission, and that's my mission, you know, tonight even when I'm speaking at Redbird Arena, is to talk to these kids, to say, hey, you know, we know it's hard, because it is very difficult to be a student, a high school or college student in today's world. It's much harder than it was when I was their age. It's much harder than it was when you were their age, and these kids don't hear that. And that's the message. I want them to talk, and we took this angle of what we call life teammates. We want them to talk to their life friends. They have already met life's best friends. They're sitting next to them in the classroom, in the dugout, on the sidelines, in the chorus, in the band, in the scouting troop, in the chess club, whatever you know venue they're in, next to them are life friends who will be there for them. So Will never told anybody. He had so many friends that loved him. He never told them he was struggling in any way, and they're still devastated today, 6 years later. So I encourage kids to talk to each other. It's easier to talk to a friend than it is to talk to an adult. And this concept of a life teammate and who are your life teammates and do they know is a great one. It's an easy sell. I'm not asking them to study harder. I'm not asking them to spend money. I'm asking them to be there for the friends and to love their friends and realize that their friends understand them better than anybody else in the world. So take advantage of that and talk. And then together they can help go through this this challenge of being a teenager in 2017.
And as you sit there and talk about this, John, 1 in 6, if that's the statistics you're using, you know, you have to imagine some of these teenagers are looking around with their classmates, realizing there probably is somebody they're already aware has been in that situation, whether it be through their family or children that they've gone to school with to this point.
You're absolutely right. And that's what's been so surprising. Every single time I speak and everywhere I go, there's always somebody who has a story. And I guarantee you that the kids I speak to tonight have friends that are struggling. They may not be suicidal, but they're struggling. They have anxiety. They're stressed to the max. They have, which can lead to this depression, which can lead to suicide. And if they know that, maybe they might do some things just slightly different. Maybe they'll save that comment for another time. Maybe they'll respond to a comment that they hear in a slightly different way, and a relationship will improve. So my main goal tonight is to improve their lives. It's too much pressure on me to say I'm out there to stop teen suicide. I'm out there to improve the lives of teenagers, to increase their will to live. And I know if I can do that, then I know that the suicide rate will decrease.
I would love... go ahead, Scott.
Have you had the opportunity to talk to maybe some of these teenagers and ask them that have come out and either shared with a friend or a counselor or a parent what they're going through, and maybe ask them and learn from them, why are you so reluctant to talk about it? Are they afraid they're going to be in trouble?
There's a whole bunch of reasons, Scott, and they're pretty obvious. I have a mental illness. Mm-hmm. Can you imagine a 15-year-old telling a friend, I have a mental illness? Can you imagine the response? You know, these kids are still young. It's they're still very immature, and it's a very, you can hear what the friend says to the next friend. Oh, he's crazy. He's nuts. She's out of her mind. She's wacko, right? It's a very difficult thing, as opposed to saying, I have diabetes. I have cancer. It's much, the response to that is, oh, I'm so sorry, I'm here for you, right? If you tell somebody I have a mental illness, there's a decent chance that they might smirk a little bit, they might laugh, they might, ooh, I have some gossip now. That is the stigma. It makes it so hard to talk. And by the way, I don't have the answer. I don't have the answer. I just want everybody to be aware that this exists. And if we're aware, we might just listen a little more closely. We might listen a little bit more attentively, and we might react in a slightly different way, because depression is an illness. It is not a character flaw. It is not a choice. When Robin Williams died, my phone was ringing off the hook, and people were saying to me, how could someone like Robin Williams, how could he be so careless, so selfish, such a coward to take his own life when he had everything? And I said, how could George Harrison, one of the Beatles, how could he be so careless and so such a coward to die of cancer? And they look at me and I say, it's the same thing. It's an illness. It is not a choice. Depression is an actual mental illness. A depressed brain is physically different than a normal brain. I never knew that. If somebody would have told me that Will was suffering from depression, if Will would have told me 6 years ago, me being the uneducated, typical father, I would have tried to talk him out of it. You can't. Well, it is not it's not a character flaw. And that's something that makes it so hard to talk about it. So that's so the point I'm trying to make is, because it is so hard to talk about it, we just need to be aware that our kids aren't going to tell you. They're not going to tell you because they know you're going to want them to be okay. They're going to want you to say, oh, you're okay, that happened to me, and I'm fine, and look at me, you turned out, I'm okay, you're okay. We want them to be okay, instead of saying, you know what, it's okay to not be okay.
And John, I will say, we have a local leader here that tells from his perspective that, you know, mental health is so important, and if you want to break through the stigma, look at it as in terms of, we have a car and we get an oil change, we have carpets and we shampoo them. So for your mind, mental illness can be easily addressed by maintaining it through even just a counseling one-on-one to walk through
sure.
what's going on in the last couple of months of my life without looking at it as something's wrong with me and I need help. Sometimes you can just do it as what's the stress that's around me on a daily basis.
It's a very good point, and you know, I was a baseball player, right? So when I had as a pitcher, I would occasionally get a sore arm. And so when my arm was injured, I got therapy. I took physical therapy. And then sometimes I took medication. It is the exact same thing here, what you just said, Patty. You know, when someone has a mental illness, counseling is a therapy. It's the same concept, and there also is medication. And you know what? It's okay. It's treatable. It's even curable. It's common, and it's okay. And that's what I'm trying to get these kids to be able to say, hey, yeah, I suffer from depression, and yep, I'm in therapy. And I want their friend's response, like, good for you. You know, maybe I wouldn't mind going to one of those sessions with you, right? If I can get them to think about it that way, because some of their really close friends may be struggling and they have no idea. That is the legacy that Will left with his own friends. They were with him that night. They went to dinner with him that night, or they lifted weights with his lacrosse team at 6 o'clock that night, and at six the next morning he was gone. And they had no idea. You can imagine what they're thinking and how they responded when we created this foundation, which is really for them, for the kids, that they started to voice this need to talk about it. And it's very powerful when the voice of the kids are talking.
John Trotwine joining us, and tonight you will be able to see him speak as he's part of the Illinois State University Speaker Series. He'll be at Redbird Arena starting at 8 o'clock. John, thank you so much for bringing your message to our community, and hopefully we can touch the lives of a couple of the kids that will be there.
Oh, it's my pleasure, and I appreciate you guys giving me the opportunity.